This week on the Canadian Tech Podcast, BlackBerry's done developing hardware. Who hacked Yahoo? Five Silicon Valley heavyweights form an AI research organization, and ShowMe is no more. That's all next and more on the Canadian Tech Podcast. The Canadian Tech Podcast is sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and developers of the apps used by some of Canada's biggest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you at oliodigitallabs.com.
Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 88 for Sunday, October 2nd, 2016, sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. My name is Stuart Clark.
And I'm Derek. You're welcome, Silva.
Oh, dear. Derek. You've spent far too long away out of this country, but you went back to Portugal for a vacation.
I did.
And tell us how that was. Did you have a good time, you and the family?
It was a great time. I got to see all my first cousins, and there's nine of those. And then to see all of their children, and there's 11 of those. Two of the great-grandkids are accounted for by my children. So 11 of their kids, and all my aunts and uncles, and a bunch of other second, third, fourth cousins as well, went to a wedding.
And, oh, there you go.
Yeah, it was a very, very good time.
Good. Excellent. So you're more or less caught up. You managed to get caught up on the email and all that good stuff.
I declared email bankruptcy in a lot of cases.
Attaboy. Select all, delete.
Well, especially for like newsletters and stuff. I'm like, especially for daily things. I was like, I'm going to scan this really quick. And if I don't see anything amazing, I'm going to delete this. And so out of, 30, 40 something, maybe two survived. And even like the tech news, I got all caught up. I'm almost all caught up on my podcasts and stuff. I had to skip a few because either I'd already heard about the topics talked about or that sort of thing. Yep. And so I'd skip. Even like CBC's The House, a lot of the midweek podcasts I find are kind of dry. So I've skipped both of those, I think. And, but I'm almost all caught up on podcasts as well, and on news I am. So I'm ready to rock and roll.
There you go. Good stuff. Well, it was a busy week, actually. Yeah. Busy couple of weeks. So we're going to start right off. And under the We Called It category, our good friends at BlackBerry, they finally decided, they had their quarterly earnings call last week, and they've decided they're going to be getting out of the hardware business, at least in terms of making it themselves. They're going to be outsource their manufacturing. Apparently, the market liked that because it raised them slightly, but they came to they had a net loss, $372 million U.S. or 71 cents a share, revenue $334. $147 million in charges from their reorg. Mm-hmm. Second quarter revenue fell 31%. So what do you think about this, especially since your wife was a BlackBerry hardware user?
She was a BlackBerry hardware user, and our friend Forrest still is.
Yes.
With his BlackBerry Priv.
I should have got him on.
Yeah.
Damn.
We can. Not next weekend. We've got another guest already, but maybe we'll do that the week after. Yeah, no, we can't be surprised because after the BlackBerry Priv, the next phone, I think the Leap was somewhere in there, and the Z10, the Q10, the Leap, those were all running BlackBerry OS, all for the most part flops, certainly compared to competitors. And the Priv was their first Android phone, is the only one for a year now. And and then we saw the DTEC 50 leaks, and now the DTEC 60 leaks, and we know for a fact that those are both designed and manufactured by a Chinese company called TCL, because it was really easy to tell because the DTEC 50 has the exact same design as the Alcatel Touch Idol or One Touch Idol 4, I think it's called,
right?
Because Alcatel is obviously very good at naming phones, and. And so, like, it was very, very obvious a couple of months ago that they hadn't designed that phone in-house. And so the writing was on the wall already a few months ago. There's no surprise here.
And I think, yeah, I think it makes sense. They're certainly going to get more bang for their buck and the investor's buck by continuing on with their software side of things. There's still a lot of good stuff there, which people like and will use. But yeah, in terms of the hardware, there's not a lot of companies that do both. Obviously, Apple does, but we see all the various Android phones and stuff like that. It's very tough for a company to get both hardware and software right. To this extent, BlackBerry did it for a while, but for a while it was really the only game in town, and then they kind of sat on it for a while. So all you folks who want to keep those devices, you better start stocking up.
Can
You
I
should
give
have checked
you
the.
a little bit of inside baseball?
Sure.
So, at in well, maybe I shouldn't say, I kind of already dropped it. At Infotech, maybe about a year and a half or so before I left, we had somebody come to work at the company who had just left BlackBerry, and he confirmed what a lot of us already suspected, which was that Mike Lazaridis, one of the former co-CEOs and co-founders, was the driving force behind not innovating. Mike, we want to add Wi-Fi. Nope. Mike, we want to do color screens. Nope.
Old school.
Mike, we want to make sure we keep up with Google or with Apple and this and the Jesus phone. Nope. Like that's a lot of what impeded BlackBerry's ability to innovate was the top brass saying, no, we're not going to do that. What do you mean we're not going to do that? What do you mean we're not going to add Wi-Fi? What do you mean we're not going to get a color screen? Like, why are we waiting or touch screens? Like, why are you making people wait for these things? You had a premium position in the market, and BlackBerry absolutely squandered it. And
Yep, they blew it.
not because the actual workers weren't pushing for those things. But because one of the co-founders and co-CEOs kept saying no, and that's so disappointing to
Exactly, and
hear.
frustrating too, especially for all those
Yes.
staff and the ones who got laid off. Because yeah, it was a tech powerhouse, Canada's tech darling. So yeah, it's really sad. You're not the first person I've heard to say that. I've heard that's a similar story before. And yeah, it's very frustrating. I know some people who as well who work for us now that used to work there, and similar things are said. Yeah, there could have been it could have been a good thing. It could have lasted, but yeah, they basically threw it away.
So, way to go, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Yep, let's hope the software side manages to keep some competition. Because again,
Yeah,
there's
I'm
some
sure
good
they
ideas.
will. Yeah, I
Yeah,
mean,
there's some good ideas there.
they bought good technology. They do have enterprise services they can sell. I don't know how. I would be really interested to find out how selling access to BlackBerry Hub Plus for $12 a year is going on Android.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see because there's a lot of people that really like the hub.
Yeah, my wife included.
My wife, your wife included. Exactly. So, but again, she seems to be happy with it right now. So,
Yeah, no, she's happy with the Galaxy S7. It is a far better device than what she had, so.
right, exactly.
And
So,
OS.
right. Okay, moving on to another company that was once the darling and a big company and not doing as well. Yahoo, they confirmed they got hacked in 2014. Approximately 500 million users, probably more. Some insider people are saying it's probably more. Includes names, email addresses, phone numbers, and in some cases, unencrypted security questions and answers. So, A, if you use anything with Yahoo, currently, then you definitely want to change your password. So, but the only thing I use with Yahoo is Flickr actually. I've changed that. But Yahoo was saying that, oh, they think it was a government organization. But now some other people are saying, nah, it was just some professional hackers. Does it really matter? What do you
No, but
think?
it could be both. So I haven't seen any evidence one way or the other. I'm not going to look at the evidence myself. I have other things to do. I know a lot of people are upset because they think, well, when did they know? When did they figure this out? How long has it taken them to tell us? Were they hanging on to it so that they could get bought before revealing this? I have no idea. And at this point, I'm not sure that I care.
Well,
Because
exactly. Yeah.
it doesn't really help me much to find out. I'm sure their investors would like to know, of course, and Verizon would probably like to know. Personally, it doesn't really matter to me. I have an account as well. It's tied to Flickr, just like yours, and some old fantasy football teams I've had. But that's about it. However, I did hear that if you do log in, they are actually saying to
They are.
specific people like, "Hey, we're pretty sure your account was involved." Now, on the other hand, if you had two-step verification already enabled, like I did, which I just double-checked,
Yeah, and I had that as well. Now, the only concern
you'd be
though
fine.
is that if you're one of these people that actually tells the truth on your secret questions,
Yeah, that's true.
someone could try that. I tend not to, so that's a good
I
thing. But
tried
yeah,
that, but
this
then I kept forgetting the answer. So I was like, okay, this obviously isn't working.
I see. Now there's little tricks you can do, but yeah, exactly. And there's also a planned acquisition, almost 5 billion by Verizon coming up. And again, we're going to see what's going to happen here, if they'll decide to go through. I'm pretty sure they will. But
Oh
yeah,
yeah,
we'll have.
I don't think I don't think Verizon's going to back out of the acquisition at this point. That would
No.
be, I don't know. I'd like to think either they are already knew, if that's the case, or it's inconsequential because they're not buying Yahoo for their security
That's right.
mechanisms, right? They're buying it because it's going to give them a ton of ad tech and a ton of eyeballs. And in a few years, I know that American and probably Canadian ISPs are scared that people are just going to go over the top somehow, whether it's a Google or Facebook or I don't know, somebody else up here probably. But other companies are going to offer better service that doesn't require all these cables and fiber in the ground potentially, and so they're gonna be SOL, which we kind of saw recently with Google, Rogers shutting down print operations for a bunch of magazines and scaling back publication of some other ones because although they said that Texture is going well with I think 1.9 million subscribers, dead trees are. Printing dead trees is a dead business, I guess.
Exactly,
Something like
exactly.
that, so.
Okay, moving on. The Rosetta mission to a comet ended this week with a pretty kind of cool way to end it after such an amazing mission. They actually as the this is the mission that actually landed a small probe on a comet. Took several years to get there, 12 years actually. So what they decided to do is because the comet's now looped around the orbit of the sun, heading further back out, so it can't maintain the charge anymore. So they don't want to risk it doing something silly. So they gently, I guess with that gravity, gently crash landed it into the ground. But it did do some amazing last bits of science and pictures and really cool. What do you think about the whole Rosetta mission? And we orbited a freaking comet.
I think it was pretty neat. It's certainly a feat of math to calculate, when to launch, how to get there, get in orbit, and all that, and engineering, of course, and all the rest that comes with doing this properly and successfully. I know a little while ago they had actually found the probe by taking tons of pictures of Rosetta or.
Comet
Sorry,
67P.
Comet 67P from Rosetta. Rosetta was taking tons of pictures trying to find the probe. Eventually, finally, somebody noticed this little I think it was a reflection in like a hole somewhere, and they figured out, oh yeah, there it is. It got stuck in like the worst place possible.
Yeah.
So, oh, here we go. Comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko.
That's why I stuck with 67P.
I love Russian names. They're fun. Yeah, so I think this was a great way to end it. So, what, 20 kilometers, 3.2 kph, that's pretty slow. And I know it took a bunch of pictures. I actually saw the pictures a couple days ago. They were released, so that was neat to see the different orientation changes and all that as it descended and got closer. And well done to everybody at the European Space Agency on the mission.
Right. Now you know what actually is interesting as well, just to, you know, you were saying they had to calculate it. This is how insane we're talking. So it was a 12-year mission. It took about 10 years to get there because of the orbit. This comet is only 4 kilometers in length.
Oh wow.
So yeah, it's tiny.
A 4 kilometer rock hurtling through millions of square kilometers of space.
Right. Exactly. with an orbit that will change speed and, you know, it changes velocity as it gets closer to the sun and all that stuff. So seriously, if you want to get to
Go ahead.
So in other words, kids, study up on your math if you wanna get into tracking, you know, sending a probe to a comet.
Yeah. Euclidean geometry, not geometry, what is it? Euclidean algebra or something like that?
Algebra, something like that. Something way beyond. I just look at it, my head will explode.
Yeah. I finished grade 12 advanced math with a 50% so I could go to college, and that was it.
That's about me. Exactly. So, yeah. So there we go. Good for them. And like I said, this is why science is cool, kids.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Okay, what do Amazon, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, IBM, but not Apple right now, or OpenAI, what do they have in common, Derek?
They are all featured on Tech Vibes, which was recently bought by a private equity firm. But also, they've gotten together.
It's good.
It's local. It's somewhat local Canadian tech news. But what they've actually gone ahead and done is formed a partnership to conduct research and recommend best practices on all aspects of AI, including ethics, privacy, and collaboration between people and systems, or what more formally might be known as human-machine interface. They're calling it the Partnership on Artificial Intelligence to Benefit People and Society, also known as BORAT, for Make Benefit of People of Kazakhstan, something like that.
There you go. That was good.
It's going to have a 10-member board, half of which is going to be will be from the 5 founding firms, so right. The companies we've already mentioned. And, basically... best practices, because the last thing we want, and as Elon Musk has mentioned in the past, we don't want AI deciding that it'd be better off without us.
Right.
And certainly this type of board organization would help steer us in a direction that should help prevent that. But also, you know, some of those more ethical things that we're going to run into with self-driving autonomous cars and robots on battlefields and that sort of thing, and making sure we actually think about the ethics and how to, whether we should actually, I guess, use AI in those cases, or and if so, how to make sure we don't kill the good guys, I guess.
Well, you know, again, as long as they don't name anything Skynet, that'll be half the battle.
that's actually, didn't some company just come out of stealth mode a little while ago, and they were actually calling themselves Skynet?
Yeah, they deserve to be shut down just for tempting fate right there.
Skynet, that's Worldwide, like, Express Canada.
Yeah, great. That's like that's like being under the, you know, the large rock on the hill, which can go at any time, and like throwing stones right from underneath it. Yeah. No, when it goes, you deserve to get smushed.
So Skynet is Skynet Worldwide Express, which is a shipping company. And there's also a Skynet Wireless here in Canada, which is a Fido exclusive dealer. And apparently there's a Skynet webmail service.
Oh yeah,
Oh
there's a
yeah,
few.
from
There's a few.
a Belgian company. Guys, cut it out.
Yeah,
Skynet
exactly.
broadband. Yeah, definitely do not sign up for Skynet broadband. How about that?
Now, did you know actually the NSA actually has a program called Skynet?
I did.
Yeah,
Yes,
there was an
unfortunately.
alarm thing a while back. So, yeah. So yeah, we're all doomed anyway. But
Yeah.
anyways, until then, we'll just keep hoping that these guys can manage to keep things at bay, shall we say?
The
All
partnership
right.
on our artificial intelligence for make benefit of Kazakhstan.
There you go. All right, we'll stick with that. Okay, moving on. More security. Apple. Apple has iMessage. I kind of
Yes, they
like
do.
iMessage, but there's
It's
alternatives.
all
But
right.
yeah, it's there. But apparently, it's not as encrypted and anonymous as we thought. Apparently, according to a document obtained by The Intercept, typing a number into an iPhone for a text conversation causes the Messages app to contact Apple servers, which
Right.
it has to do because it has to determine if it's going to take place over SMS or Apple's proprietary
Of course.
network. It allows my wife to reach my Mac from her cell phone.
Yep.
But that data log also includes the date and time the user number entered the number, as well as the IP address. Apparently, Apple's hanging on to that. And yeah, that's not a good idea. And they could potentially turn it over to the feds in response to court orders, apparently. Yeah, this is not good. What do you think?
So, yes, they are going to capture all that information at some point. It's whether intentional or not. I mean, full disclosure, like I run a web hosting company, which everybody who listens to this podcast will know. By the way, thank you to welcome all the new listeners. We've like doubled our listenership recently. Thank you
Awesome.
very much. Welcome to the show.
And we are not tracking you.
We are not tracking you. I know how many downloads we have. I have no idea where they're from. Almost no idea. But back to that point, yeah, we know where our downloads are from. Apache web server software tracks IP addresses, mostly because my server, or my servers, if somebody keeps trying to hack away at trying to get root access to the command line, or through anybody else's account through the command line, or somebody's trying to hack your FTP account or something like that, eventually it blocks you at the IP address. It'll be temporary to start, and then eventually it'll be permanent if you keep trying. So for that reason, it's actually a really good thing to. Well, it's a good thing to have the IP address as part of the logs, but ultimately, anybody who's writing log capturing software, log software, is going to look for the IP address because it's a really easy way to identify someone at a point in time, not historically. So I'm not surprised at all that this is happening. Should Apple be hanging on to it? No. Are they hanging on to it for long? No.
No,
They only
30
hang on to it
days.
for 30 days. So I don't know, because I know at one point in time the telcos were it was like sending text messages was really secure at one point because they didn't keep logs at all. It was you'd send a text message, it would hit Roger's server, Rogers would figure out that they needed to send it to TELUS or whatever, get it over to TELUS, it'd get delivered for your phone, and that was it. It'd get all wiped out from all the servers in the meantime. I don't know if that's still the case anymore, on the other hand, that was all sent in plain text. So if you, conceivably, somebody or some sort of law enforcement agency could get a warrant and could actually snoop on those text messages quite easily. So I don't know. I'm not surprised. As someone who runs servers and works at a web development agency, of course your IP address is being tracked. Like it makes sense. But why do they hang on to it for 30 days? Like that's.
Exactly. Yeah,
It,
and I
you
think
could
this
let go of
is
that data for after 3 days and reduce your storage requirements and a whole bunch of other things.
Exactly.
30 days is too long. but nobody should be surprised. Sorry, that Apple has this information for at least a little while.
And I think this is why there's other alternatives now. You know, my stuff we'd like is going to feature one of those products later on. So
And I already use it.
we'll. Yeah, exactly. I know you're already using it. So yeah, we'll definitely take a look at that as well. Okay, moving on. Show Me, which was Rogers' answers to Netflix. Rogers has decided to pull the plug. Basically, they're saying this. You know, they said the server had 900,000 subscribers, but if that number just included paying subscribers, because there was a lot of free 1 year subscriptions
Oh, I'm sure it included lots of people
yeah,
who
with
had who
wireless
just happened to
packages.
get it as part of their cable or
Exactly.
wireless package, for
Yeah,
sure.
exactly. You know, so this doesn't surprise me greatly. I think part of the problem was when Rogers first launched it, you had to be a Rogers cable subscriber or a
Or
Rogers
Shaw.
user or Shaw, yeah, to actually get this. You couldn't just be a cord cutter like I am and just have it separately, because I could run it on my Apple TV if I wanted to. But yeah, so it doesn't greatly surprise me. Did it surprise you?
Not at all. Quite frankly, I'm surprised it took this long. My big issue complaint still is that I couldn't get it on a Roku device. And you know, I'm not saying Roku's like that they've sold more devices than anybody else in Canada or anything like that, although I suspect they have, except for maybe Apple TV. But you know, I'd like to think it's a fairly decent sized segment of the small personal set-top box market in Canada, and therefore you should make an app for it. NHL has a Roku app. Netflix has had a Roku app forever. There's a Google Play Movies and TV Roku app. So, and there was an RDO Roku app before that, before they got bought out, or before they went under and got bought out by Pandora. So why was there not a Show Me app? I have no idea. And that was the big reason why I wouldn't even try it out, because, okay, I tried out and now I like it. And now what? Now I'm going to hook up my laptop to my TV every time? No, it would never get used.
Exactly. So, yep, no, most unfortunate. Roger's going to have to find another way to get that revenue stream going again. All right, moving on. It's time for a word from our sponsor. And instead of having to listen to your recorded voice, which, you know, Pylon and Jameson both thought you did a very good job on, by the way.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you'll have to go back and hear them winding you up. These damn young kids these days, I tell you, as I throw them under the bus. Anyway, go ahead. We have a nice live ad tonight, so go for it.
Yeah, so our sponsor is Olio Digital Labs. Full disclosure, my full-time employer as well. But the nice thing about working at Olio is that I genuinely enjoy it, and so for that reason, I really appreciate them sponsoring the podcast. Olio Digital Labs is a web and app development firm. We specialize in complex web apps that companies come to us for to help run their business. Obviously, we don't need to do just complex stuff, but that's certainly our forte. And lately, we've had a lot of organizations coming to us for custom mobile app development, and that is an area where really our team shines. We've been building an app for College Pro, which is a company that university and college students go to on summers or during their summer breaks to start a business and run their own business for the summer and hopefully make a good bit of coin doing it. And they recognized a little while ago that they needed a mobile app to make sure that they could keep attracting those college university students. And so about a little under a year ago, we started building version one for them, bringing it up to feature parity with their existing but aging web-based system. Basically, it's a customer relationship management system that has all their data, and so it actually runs the business. And we've been building this mobile app up to feature parity, where that was version one and version two to a certain extent, which is all done. We're actually developing version three right now, which is bringing some crazy consumer-oriented features to the fore that we believe the students, their franchisees, are really, really going to like. And we're keeping working with them because they like the team, they like the design, they love the development, and they know that they can trust us with their data and with and to meet their needs. And so
Excellent.
that's you know, it's been a big part of the business. And people to that point, we get calls all the time from people in Eastern Europe or the UK saying, "Hey, you can outsource your work to us." And the answer is always a firm no. For this very reason, our customers, you can go look at our logo wall, is what a lot of people call it, at oleodigitallabs.com, where you'll see logos like companies like MLSE, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, Home Depot, Walmart, places like that. I think HS, not HSBC, HBC is up there. And the reason we can get big companies like that and also smaller businesses is because they know that they can trust us, and they know they can trust us with their data, with sensitive data. And certainly we do handle a lot of it, and we treat it with the utmost respect. And yeah, so if you have a website, a web application, a mobile application you need built or that you need to explore, feel free to give us a call at 226-785-0420 or email me, Derek, Derek, at oleodigitallabs.com, oleo spelled OLIO, and let's sit down and have a chat about what you're looking to get built.
Excellent. And like you said, we thank them for their support of the Canadian Tech Podcast. Okay, moving on. Google Apps, they're rebranding it.
They sure are.
They sure are. There's a surprise. Well, everyone seems to be rebranding these days. Google Apps for Work is now going to be called G Suite.
G Suite.
G Suite. I had another name in mind, and I'm glad I haven't accidentally said it yet.
It sounds like I'm young, or at least younger than
Yeah.
you. And
Yeah.
so when I heard it first time, I thought G Unit, like 50 Cent and all of his
Oh
buddies
yeah, okay.
10
Yeah,
years
yeah.
ago. I was like, so it's like G Suite. I'm sure
Alas,
that's
I'm
not what
much
Google's
more
looking for,
I'm
but
cruder.
oh,
Sorry.
jeez.
I'm even worse.
Oh, yeah. No,
Now he
yeah.
gets
Jeez.
it. Okay, so the name spans Gmail, Docs, Drives, Calendar, Hangouts, and more. Don't accidentally say it now that I
I'm not
popped it into your
gonna. I'm not
head.
gonna.
Apparently, again, as all branding, the new name is supposed to reflect the collaborative team-based approach to the software. There's going to be a bunch of new features apparently coming out too. I've been in companies that have used Google Apps for business. My old consulting thing, I managed to get myself grandfathered in. So again, I'll probably play with that as well. But there is going to be some additional things for quick access, for example. Quick access and drive on Android will take 50% off the average time it takes to get to the right file by eliminating the need to search for it. Instead, machine learning will predict what file you need before you type. I don't know how it's going to read your mind, but
That's
there
pretty
you go.
cool.
Because if you don't type, how will it know?
Time of day, history. Every Wednesday around 2 p.m., you access this file because it's your notes going into your weekly meeting or something like that. I think it'll be that sort of thing. So, like every Monday morning at Olio, we have a weekly production morning meeting. So, if we were using G Suite to manage our notes, chances are for Chelsea, our full-time production coordinator, because I'm busy doing more sales stuff now, it would probably show that one first. And like, hey,
There
Chelsea,
you
you probably want this app. And she'd be like, yeah, that's exactly the one I want. Click.
That
And there
makes
you go.
sense. That makes sense because, if I had that in London Life, it would know around 11:15. I'm checking to see what the menu is
There you
upstairs in the
go.
cafeteria.
Yeah, actually,
So,
Android already does this based on this exact sort of thing. Based on app usage, when you click the app drawer icon, it'll present four apps at the top of your drawer that it thinks you're probably going to access right now. And it's really good. It's actually like a lot of the time, it's like, yeah, in the afternoon, I usually check Tangerine to see where like my Clever Host checking account is that and that sort of thing. Or like I'll load up Instagram at various times of the day, and so sometimes it'll show me Instagram and Tangerine and Twitter and, something else. And I'm like, maybe 8 times out of 10, one of those four apps is actually the one I want. So it's
Right,
actually
right.
really good. So if they're going to apply that sort of machine learning here, yep, it should work at least decently well.
Yeah, the other thing they're going to offer is something called Team Drive. Basically, they're rewriting the entire back end of Google Drive to allow this. Basically, new roles allows for more granular control over the content, because that's one thing I always found before with Google Drive. There was a few things that just didn't quite do as well as it should. So that's going to be available through an early adopter program. There's going to be an upgraded Hangouts. Google Calendar Smart Scheduling feature, which is already live on Android, is arriving on iOS too. Again, machine times, suggest meeting times and available rooms and whatnot. And there's also going to be Explorer is now arriving on Google Docs in order to recommend related topics to learn about, images to insert, and more content to discover, says Google. It'll also point you to a related document in Drive. So yeah, kind of like, another step across the bow for things like Office 365 and things like that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to playing around with some of these features. We don't use Google Drive at work, but I still use it. We use it here on the podcast, and I use it for some other things, and so do you. So
Well, here's a big one we've glanced over is Google Hangouts. So here's why
That's
Google
right.
Duo exists. Google Hangouts now is not going to require any downloads or plugins. It's going to let anyone join from any device, even without an account or data connection. Okay, so calls, phone calls, I guess. Yes, phone calls, just like GoToMeeting, Webex, etc. The new user interface is going to support up to 50 video participants. That'll be interesting. It's going to integrate with Calendar. It's going to have support for instant screen sharing and recording. And so, obviously, Google Hangouts now is more geared towards the G Suite, formerly known as Google Apps for Work. Google Hangouts on Air is now more for live streaming on YouTube. And now Google Duo is your one-on-one FaceTime equivalent for Android, but cross-platform.
Yeah, it's interesting because I heard something a while ago because there's a group of us who build model kits and we use Google Hangouts for there. And apparently, Google put an announcement out that they were moving those over to YouTube. So, the consumer level sort of Hangouts are obviously being migrated because that's what we were using. We were using Google Hangouts. You get about 10 people in on the call and like that. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see what happens there as well. So
Interesting.
keep an eye on that. All right, record breaking DDoS. This is kind of scary when you think
Oh.
about we think about the Internet of Things. So this was a big DDoS event, distributed denial of service,
Yep.
and staggering 1.1 terabytes per second. Now, part
Terabits.
of terabits. Sorry, my apologies.
It's a big
One of
difference.
Yeah, there is actually, yes. One of the big reason is because instead of being just PCs, that have been kind of zombified and stuff like that, in this case, it was things like cameras and baby monitors and,
Internet of
all
Things
those
devices.
the Internet of Things devices. So why don't you
Yeah.
tell us a little bit more about this?
Oh, okay. So Krebs-on Security is a very famous amongst the security crowd, IT crowd, security website. Mike Krebs, something like that. I don't remember the gentleman's name. I don't read Krebs-on Security personally, but I know a lot of people do. And yeah, his site was down for more than 24 hours. Akamai, who's a huge content delivery network, was trying to help mitigate the attack. But yeah, it was at the time what the believed to be a record of 620 gigabits per second being delivered by, like you said, routers, IP webcams, baby monitors, etc., thousands of them. And then just a few days later, I think it started on the 19th of September, the founder and CTO of OVH, who is a French web hosting company, but they actually operate their own data centers. They have one in Montreal. Again, another full disclosure, that's where I have my stuff for CleverHost, is at OVH's data center in Montreal, Beauharnois. They were getting hit on their anti-DDoS network that they thankfully put up a couple years ago, with 600 gigabits per second, and then 800 gigabits per second, and every 24 hours, thousands more devices were being added to this botnet and attacking OVH. Why OVH? Who knows? For shits and giggles, I guess.
Maybe.
And then it peaked at about 1.1 terabits per second, which is crazy. I remember a year or two ago, Cloudflare, who does a lot of this sort of stuff, mitigating attacks and acting as a content delivery network, saying like, oh, 100 gigabits per second, this is like the new norm. Like, we're seeing this like pretty much all the time. That was only like 2 years ago. This is 10 times that in only 2 years. And it's just unheard of. I can't believe that we're seeing this sort of level of attack in such a short amount of time. And like, from all these devices that we've been hearing for a long time, need to have better security on them. They need to have better security on them. We had just a year, a couple of years ago, I think TP-Link webcams, sorry, TP-Link, if it wasn't yours, but I think it was yours, where all you had to do was like run a port scan on the web and you'd get thousands of people's webcams that you could just connect to at random. And I'm pretty sure there's still a website out there where you can just go look at people's webcams. In their homes and stuff. And that's exactly what that has led to, is this laissez-faire, who's gonna bother, type attitude on these small embedded devices, not embedded devices, but small devices that are like single purpose.
Yep.
Here you go. Now we're having, now 15,000 of them are attacking a legitimate web host, sending over a terabit per second of data and just slowing everybody down in general, which is the worst part.
Exactly. All right. We don't have a local story today, but we do have an official rant from Derek. Please note, copyright, all rights reserved on that.
Yes. This is all me.
Get your popcorn ready. iOS 10 is now out. And as usual, there is some people having problems right out the gate. Some people don't listen to Stuart. And when, they say, wait a little while. But in your case, Derek, your rant isn't so much about the problems upgrading. It's about the actual UX and the design for it. So take it away.
Oh, man. Where do I start? Okay, so back in iOS 9, there were a few little things that annoyed me. Like, app developers, and Apple specifically, I don't know why, but they seem to be obsessed with small fonts. Like, if you jump from Safari to, like, you click on a link that says, open in the App Store. And you do that, and then in the top left corner of the App Store, there's a little button that says, back to Safari. That's great. That's actually super handy because I don't have a back button like I do in Android. But that little text is like 6-point font on this high-res Retina screen. And so that was annoying because it would be like, it took me 3 tries to get back. First world problems, that's fine. Okay. But those sorts of things I see crop up every once in a while. And now with iOS 10... I didn't like notifications, particularly in iOS 9, but they were fairly functional. You'd see one show up, you'd tap and hold and then drag down, put your finger on it and drag it down, and you get a couple options, mark as read, delete, whatever. And then if you tapped it, you'd go to the app and read your email or see the tweet that somebody just sent at you or what have you. And it was okay. It was fine. It was Android-esque, and I could say I liked it.
Okay.
Notifications in particular in iOS 10 annoy the you-know-what out of me because they took something decent and made it way worse. Swiping right actually opens up the notification, like opens up the email or opens up the tweet or opens up the Facebook post or what have you. Okay, I can get used to that. That's fine. But then for me, the next logical thing would be swiping left would clear it, right? Right opens, left clears.
Yeah,
No. Left gives you two options. View or clear? Okay. I know Apple loves making you do two taps for things, right? You open up your notification shade and all the other useless stuff that's there, and you tap on the X for all of your notifications for today, and then you have to tap it again. You hit the clear, or you hit the X, and then you hit clear to actually get rid of them, because once is not enough. Heaven forbid you see all these notifications. And or you miss one of these notifications. And you have to do that for each day. And that hasn't changed in iOS 10. So that's really annoying. But back to notifications. You swipe left. Now you have view or clear. Clear gets rid of it. So now you swipe left. You tap clear. It goes away. That's an extra step that didn't need to happen. Didn't need to be there. Clicking view. All right. The word is view. So what does that mean to you?
What does it mean?
Yeah, so if you swipe left on a notification now and you choose the view option, where do you think that should take you?
That should take me, in theory, I think, to the actual app.
Oh, you think so,
You would think so.
but it doesn't.
It doesn't.
No,
Where does it take us, Derek?
now it takes over your entire screen and gives you what is the iOS 10 equivalent of a modal. So, like,
Okay.
when you're scrolling down, like, the New York Times website or the London Free Press, and it's like, it takes over your screen, and you're like, hey, sign up for our newsletter, or hey, it's only 99 cents for like the
I
next 3 months.
hate it when that happens.
That's a modal. And sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad. In this case, your notification, you tap view, and it takes over your entire screen, just like a modal. It doesn't actually give you any extra information about the notification itself. And now it just gives you options. So in Newton email, the Newton mail app, for instance, it gives me mark as read. Well, I only have a little bit of information to go on, so I don't know if I want to do that. Archive, delete, and I think star because it's a mail app. So I tapped view, and you didn't give me the email to view. You gave me four options, and so I thought, okay, well, maybe this is just email. No. Tweets, same thing. Facebook, same thing. It gives you options. It lets you
Interesting.
view options on what to do with that notification. That's not what that. That's not what view means, Apple. I thought, okay, I've got my Android phone running Marshmallow 6.0. It's great. And I've got this iPad Mini 2 that I really like the hardware, and it's got a really good app ecosystem. Like, there are tons of really good apps available for this phone. So I'm going to keep it until another Nexus 7 device or something like that comes along. Now I want to throw this thing out the window because, oh, and to top it all off, not only are notifications now far more annoying and less useful to me, but I'm finding my 2-year-old hardware very slow now. It's switching apps, opening up the like double tapping the home button to bring up, other apps that are in the background. Just doing stuff like that is like, it's a couple of seconds now. It's literally like one, two, oh, there it goes. And you try to do this thing and it's one, two, oh, there we go, finally. So now I'm ready to throw my iPad Mini 2 out the window. It just works. Apple's big thing for a long time is, oh, it just works. No, it doesn't.
No, it
More and
doesn't. So
more, I'm finding that that's not true.
they're missing the boat.
And it is incredibly annoying.
I have an iPhone 7 Plus on order, and it will come with it. So I'm
Good
going to,
luck.
when that eventually arrives, I will give it a whirl, and I'll give you how I feel about it, and we'll go from there. So, are you feeling better now?
A little bit, yeah.
All
Because
right. Well, that's good.
my wife doesn't care, so I can't unload this on her.
No.
But
So yeah, you're out of luck. So, all right, let's move on to stuff we like. One of your favorite chat apps, Signal, you can now get it on the Chrome on your browser on your desktop.
Yeah, this is
so I
interesting.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting because, I have it on my phone after you talked about it, but it's one of these ones I never use. It's like, I got to remember to use it. Or
Well,
now
just
I think
text
of
me
it.
every once in a while.
I know,
We
I
can have
know. And I just.
illicit conversations about the RCMP and stuff.
Well, exactly. You're about the only person right now that's I use it with. But yeah, this now that it's on the desktop, I might actually use it more. So, yep, it's available. It's available through Chrome. It's out of beta. So only thing is it's kind of neat the way you install it actually. You install the Android or iPhone version, and then what you do is you grab the Chrome version and you scan a QR code from the mobile version, and then your accounts are linked. So I did that today. Very flawless. Like I said, it brings up a QR code on the desk. You take a picture of it in the app and it just works. Actually,
Sounds a lot like
very nice.
sounds a
So
lot like BlackBerry Messenger when you're trying to
yeah,
get your
definitely one to think
friends.
about. Yeah, same idea, I guess. So yeah, I'm going to try and make a conscious effort to use it more. So, all right, what do you have this week?
I have Airtable, and I preface this by saying that my explanation is probably not going to do this new product justice, but in a nutshell, it's like all the things Microsoft Excel can do, but way more consumer friendly, and then it actually does all the things you wish Excel would do. So here's an
That's actually
example.
a good way of putting it.
Yeah, so here's an example. Somebody like they have tons of different use cases. Well, actually, let's go over. They have templates on the website. Let's go over the templates. They've got. You can use this thing as like an art gallery, and it's a spreadsheet. You can use that as an art gallery. You can put your product catalog and your orders in here, and you can use it to track a project, and you can do a personal content or a content customer relationship management system, apartment hunting. I used to use Excel for this or Google Sheets for apartment hunting. And the reason you have all these use cases is not because it's just a spreadsheet, but because it's like a super high fidelity, multimedia enabled, really easy to link to other Airtable spreadsheet. So like you can have columns that actually store images. You can have columns that link to other Airtables, other spreadsheets, like I said. You can introduce your own little tagging system. You can make like a drop-down menu really easily with just a few options because it's like a let's say like a column for priority, right? And so whether something's low, medium, or high priority for you can make a drop-down for that really, really simply. It's just I shared it with my wife and she was like, "This is amazing. Yes, I need this at work." I was like, that's what I thought. That's why I wanted to make sure I shared it with you because it just seems like this is what Excel should be. This is what Google Sheets should be. And they're not, but thankfully somebody recognized it and decided to fill the void. And really nice is that there's a free version with unlimited bases. I'm not sure. I'm guessing that means like different spreadsheets. 1,200 records per base and up to 2 gigabytes of attachment space per base. That's a
Yeah,
really
that's pretty good.
big free plan. So it's Airtable.com. Check it out. I think a lot of people will like it.
Yeah, and I found I had a quick look through before we started, and the video does actually a really good job of explaining it.
It
So
would
it's
have
definitely
to.
worth, yeah, definitely worth checking that out. Yeah, and it's something I'm going to look with. I got a few more ideas about that. So hopefully we'll do that. So we're on to what are we up to lately? So I'm going to start. So I'm actually, as I mentioned previously, both my wife and I were finally time to upgrade our very old iPhone 5s, particularly mine, which battery seems to die if you look at it the wrong way. We're actually, through my employer at London Life, we get a very attractive deal for cell phone plans through Rogers. So yeah, that's the only reason why I'm going back, folks. I didn't, even though I said I'll never go back to Rogers, but the discount's pretty heavy. So,
Fair enough.
there you go. So we're both getting iPhone 7 pluses. It was funny. I think I told Jameson this or John last week, but I'll tell you as well. When the announcement was made, my original plan was, okay, I'll wait for the 7s. I'll basically wait for them to come out. The 6S's will go down in price, and or the 6S Plus, and I'll be good.
Right.
Then, of course, Apple had to introduce an anti-vibration stabilization lens.
The optical image stabilization.
The optical image stable. And I've played with that on like SLRs and that. It's like a few swear words were said, but and then my wife saw it and she thought that would be really cool, Sue. So you know what? But in the end, by waiting a week, the actual base hardware price dropped for us $200.
Oh, wow.
Telus actually had the 7 Pluses for like $349 on a premium 2-year plan,
okay,
where everyone else was $500, and then the following week Rogers dropped theirs to match. So that was kind of nice. So yeah, we had to move to a slightly higher plan. So in the end, our bill's about the same, but we get a heck of a lot more data on much nicer phones. So yeah, I'm checking out some of the new apps I haven't upgraded and stuff like that in a while. Few things on the website. Our Model Club had their shows, so I'm playing around with some different galleries. Uploading a ton of pictures. So I'm glad my hosting provider is pretty good about that. Speeds are actually very good. I was doing that just before we started moving some stuff up. So
it should be decent,
it works out very well. So I'm very pleased. So what have you been up to?
Oh, man. So since I got back from vacation, I finally got Clever Host's new website up and running.
Looks very nice, by the way.
Thank you. Cleverhost.ca. I did use a theme, like a template, but I customized it after launch. I was like, colors are okay, but I need something better. So I just messed with the colors a couple days ago, and every individual page is more or less handcrafted. So I also moved Cleverhost to a new account management billing system. We were using HostBill before, which was great 4 years ago. It's terrible now. So we've moved to the very web hosting industry standard WHMCS, which is great. At work, at Olio, very close to sealing a deal that's a little over $37,000 right now, unless they add more features. It was already 35 a week ago, and then they said, can we do this and this and this? And I said, no problem. Repriced it. It's a little over 37 now. It's a drop in the bucket compared to their other costs they have getting this company up and running. So that shouldn't be a big deal. So, hopefully get contract and a check for that this week. And now that Clever Host's new website and new billing system is up and running, finally going to turn my attention over to SSL Cheap. And I know how I'm going to do that because I just integrated with an SSL reseller through WHMCS, and it was stupidly easy.
Nice. Because more and more people should be considering that for their sites.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, if for nothing else, it's nice to be able to encrypt even your form data, like, you know, collecting people's phone numbers and email addresses and that sort of thing, so that people aren't snooping on hackers aren't snooping on that. And also because Google, who of course has like what 60% search engine market share, maybe more here in Canada, thereabouts in the US, and like 90 something percent in Europe, they just started marking sites that are not secure as like a problem. Like, you should visit this site. You should visit this other one that has an SSL certificate. So SSL Cheap is going to aim to get you very inexpensive SSL certificates. We'll make some money at it, but I'm not trying to make like, you know, 100 or 200% margins on these. I want to make them affordable for people. So
affordable and something that's actually safer, because again, it means the whole internet as a whole, hopefully, will be safer as we get more secure with this. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. There's definitely a couple of my sites I want to be able to get a cert for. So I'm looking forward to getting to it cheaper and easier.
And if you're thinking to yourself like, oh, I don't want, like Derek, I don't know which one to choose. I don't know how to install it. That's fine. There's going to be tons of information on the website about which ones to get. And realistically, for most people, the least expensive one you can get, which will be like, I don't know, $15 a year, thereabouts, that's perfect. That's
That's
fine.
exactly.
That's
Yeah,
all
exactly.
you need. If you want the green bar, the green address bar, that's a few hundred dollars a year. And
Right.
there's no way around that. Like
Yeah.
it costs me a couple hundred bucks, therefore it's going to cost you a couple hundred
Yep,
bucks plus a little bit of money for me.
exactly.
But yeah, so or, a little bit of money for SSL cheap. But yeah, those aren't expensive. But the reason they aren't expensive is because the certificate authority, whether it's Komodo or Symantec or Entrust or RapidSSL or anybody like that, they call you for with a verification. They want to talk to the person whose name is on the SSL cert. They email you, and you have to click a link and put in a code to verify you own the domain.
Yep,
And then they
I
actually
remember doing
dig.
that.
And then they actually dig through. Dun and Bradstreet, aka DNB, and your articles of incorporation or whatever business registration you have to actually confirm this is a legit business. So, they actually do some work, and that takes time.
Takes
So,
time, takes money.
and there's like a warranty of like $150,000 in case something goes wrong. So, there's like an insurance policy practically on it.
It is.
So,
It is. But I think it's an
yeah.
important thing, and yeah, I'll be looking forward to that.
Anyway, after that was hopefully up and running before the end of the year. Then I'll be looking to launch a Portuguese web hosting brand.
Excellent, because I've got the English soccer team. They want to host somewhere. Just kidding.
Was gonna say, what are you talking about? Pretty sure Liverpool's not gonna move their site to my hosting service, but hey. Or Man U or Man
Liverpool, I'm
City or
talking Chelsea.
Leicester or Chelsea, whatever. Pick one, doesn't matter. It's not
So
going to happen.
what's this all about?
So, okay, well, I was obviously in Portugal, and I was
Yes.
like, oh, I wonder what the market's like over here. And I noticed that there's not a lot of competition. So I'm not going to like I'm not going to put up a new server in Montreal and expect people to,
No.
people in Portugal to put their sites on it. It'll be a server in Europe with a great connection, and everything's going to be in Portuguese. Support will be in Portuguese. But yeah, I think it's kind of like where Canada was 5 to 10 years ago, where like there's a
Excellent.
few providers. It's not hyper competitive, and I think I can make a couple bucks at it. And I've got a cousin who runs a computer repair and sales shop who I think we can, he can refer some folks to me. So he'll make a little bit of money, I'll make a little bit of money, and
Awesome.
everybody will be happy. So,
Everyone will be happy.
yeah.
Just don't call when the World Cup's on.
No, or the Euro.
Or the Euro, especially the
Right.
Euro this time, for
So
next time.
every 2 years, we close for a day.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the
Or a
same,
few days, rather,
a
because,
few days.
whenever the
It
game's on.
depends. It depends how well they do in the
Yes.
preliminary
Yeah,
round.
exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. So, okay. So yeah, you're keeping nice and busy. Good
Yeah.
stuff. Well, it's good to
One thing
have
at
you
a time,
back.
though.
We're running out of time, as
We
always.
are.
So don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, wherever else you get your podcasts. Retweet us when we tweet about new episodes or other things. We both, Derek and I, try to get times during the week to, if we see something interesting, we'll throw it up on our Tech Podcast Twitter account. Tell a friend as well. Follow and like our page on Facebook, or again, send us an email at contact@CanadianTechPodcast to let us know what you think. In the future, we're also going to have some more guests on. So if there's any particular guests you'd like us to try and get a hold of for an interview, let us know as well via one of those things. Anything I missed, Derek? I'm sure I did.
I
Nothing?
was what was I going to say? Oh, we also have the Facebook page, so if you don't like
Yep.
Twitter, that's fine. Fine,
Yep, we got that now.
you can find us on Facebook. We don't have a Google Plus page. I don't think that would be very beneficial for the
No.
only because of the way they've pivoted now, where everything's
Yep.
like collections. Well, I
Exactly.
don't know what collection we'd suit at this point. So,
Yep.
we'll stick with the two big ones and yeah, if there is somebody, I think we can say who's going to be on next week. We're going to have the CEO of IPTV company VMedia,
Cool.
George Berger. I think it's George Berger. He's going to be joining us for the show. I think he's going to be like with us for the whole thing and
Yeah, it
actually
sounds like
providing
it.
his perspective. So that'll be really cool. We are going to try and line up some other folks like that, either at least for an interview or to join us for the show and be a guest. And so yeah, if you have any requests, I was gonna say requests, now I was gonna say wishes, and so it came out requests, or anyway,
Requishes, yes, I know.
requishes, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Let us know. Email, Twitter, Facebook, doesn't matter. Just let it.
All that good
Personal
stuff.
Twitter accounts, whatever. Just let us
Stop
know.
us on the street, whatever.
Feel free to stop me on the street and chat me up. That's fine. No problem.
No
I really
problem
don't
at all.
mind.
He'll go, "Who are you?"
I've had
Just
neighbors
mention
do
me
it,
all the
like,
time.
"Hey, Derek," and I'm like, "Hi,
Hi,
I
who the
don't know
heck
who
are
you
you?
are."
I know. It's
But you live in
tough being a
Kilworth, so
celebrity, isn't it?
it sure is.
Exactly.
Very
Exactly.
minor
I
celebrity.
know.
Oh, I know what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
So, Olio is obviously a sponsor, has been for a long time. We do
Yep.
have one other advertising slot open on the show. So we're gonna get a rate sheet up for that. But if you want to find out what the rates are, just email advertise at CanadianTechPodcast.ca, and either Stuart or myself will get back to you with
Exactly.
rates and what you get in return. And
Okay,
it's
so
very
that's it.
reasonable.
I think, of course, it's going to be reasonable. It's us doing it.
Yeah.
We are two very reasonable people, unless you talk
Absolutely.
about iOS 10. Then one of us gets a bit unhinged, but
Or Android, and
that's
then the
another
other one
story.
gets a bit
Okay,
unhinged.
so for episode 88 of Canadian Tech Podcast for Sunday, October 2, 2016, my name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is still Derek Silva.
Thank you and be well.